The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 4th of January, 2021. Brand new year. Happy new year to you. On the podcast today, I have, we're going to revisit actually an IPO that happened last Monday, but of course, due to the time of the year, didn't get a lot of attention. So, again, Jane, CEO of Vector Capital, that's VCAP, explains on their first day name how their business model caters for a growing real estate market overlooked by traditional lenders. Also on the podcast, Alan Green, CEO of Brand and Communications, talks about EdTech, AB Dynamics, CVS Group, and Tertiary Minerals. And at the end of the podcast, as always, I'm going to highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We'll see lots of other content. In fact, this one there in ITM Power commences manufacturing at its gigafactory in Sheffield. There's one on Asia Met Resources, secures key approval for BKM Copper Project. And of course, our COVID-19 index. What's the biggest rise of the day? It's Tiziana Life Sciences, up 10 or 11% to 102 pretty much. Biggest faller is E Therapeutics, down 7% to 16.2 pence. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is again Jane, CEO of Vector Capital. VCAP is the ticker. Again, thanks for joining me.
Right, thank you for inviting me, Dustin.
Yeah, big day for you. First day of dealings on AIM, and we'll discuss the details of why you're doing it and what you're hoping to achieve. But before we do that again, for people obviously not familiar because you're just brand new, just give us a summary as to what the business is about, please.
Okay, so Vector Capital then provides finance to a niche segment in the market, which are mainly property developers. So these are people that would buy properties, typically office blocks, dilapidated large residential properties, and even other types of commercial properties, with the main view of converting them to flats.
I see.
So they would use us for the period of buying the property and doing the conversion works. And when that is done, then they can refinance with traditional lenders like high street banks, etc. But for that initial period of the first 1 or 2 years when they need to do the work, that's when they come to Vector.
Understand. So why now? Why are you listing on AIM? And specifically, why now, this period?
Okay, so the main lenders, i.e. the banks, have vacated this space over the last few years. As a result, the demand that we're facing is quite extraordinary. And our own organic sort of resources of plowing back profits from previous years just isn't sufficient. And we really needed to raise further capital. And that's the reason for listing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've raised, is it 3 million, I think? And what are you going to be using it for then, again?
Right. The way our model works is that all 3 million will go straight into new lending. Mm-hmm. So with that money will be used to finance further construction and development of residential property. But against that, we also have bank facilities, debt facilities that allow us then to draw down funds against that. So then we can then replow the initial amount of capital back into new lending. It has a multiplier effect of, I would say, about 3 to 1.
I understand. And I say, obviously, you're listening on AIM to raise capital to grow faster. And so looking forward, maybe next 12 months, what are you hoping to achieve, operationally?
Our main aim is to increase the amount of transactions that we can do and assist more developers to build more property. And the main function is to try and increase the loan book size.
Yeah, and just going back to that, you said, talk about the property market and banks have stepped out of this area. And is this a recent thing or has it been happening gradually? What's happening there?
It's been happening over a period of time. And it's not unnatural. You know, the banks require a lot of sort of understanding of the market, and you can't really do that at branch level. The branches are shutting. They don't have the type of people that will be able to talk to businesses that want to do this, and it's so it's being left for specialist players like ourselves.
I understand, Okay, well, listen, I wish you a happy first day dealing. Hopefully we'll speak again. But every day on the podcast, again, what I do is I highlight the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform. To get on that most followed list, of course, people have to hit a follow button. So people listening right now, like the sound of what you're talking about and what you're doing, the sector you're in, give them three reasons, if you could, why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, look, first thing I'd say is that, you know, the economy is going through a big period of gloom and doom. Mm-hmm. And we're one of the sort of segments in the market that are still showing some steady growth. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a big reason that, you know, we're one of the shining stars in that you can expect. Mm-hmm. We've got a track record of paying dividends, and going forward, you know, we've got a very progressive dividend policy. All of the money that we get, it goes straight back into growing the business. And we've got a very long record of success. So we're not a startup. We're a business here that's come to scale up and show good returns to investors.
Excellent stuff. Well, it's good to have you on. And like I said, first Dave Dealings, and hopefully we'll catch up again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much again.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communication. John, Al.
A very good, very happy new year, Justin. Or have I said that already? No, it wasn't last year, last time we spoke, was it? It was still December. But yes, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yes. No, happy new year. It's, yes, 4th, isn't it? It says cool. And do you ever do any New Year's resolutions?
Do you know what? This year, I didn't make any. I think I've got a plan that's an investing plan and a sort of end game plan, which was.
What is that? What is it? Listen to it. What's the end game plan here?
Well, just make enough of my portfolio to retire and set up a motorcycle shop in Seaford. And we're already sort of investing and buying and selling a couple of bikes. And,
well, you're opening a shop, a motorbike shop.
Well, yeah, there's a big market in classics now, as I'm sure I've told you beforehand, and I see an awful lot of potential in that market, and there is scope in Seaford, I think, certainly along the south coast. You know, there are plenty of smaller operations, but I think it's, you know, commercially, you know, we can make it pay. It's given where commercial property is at the moment as well. You know, there are some decent premises to be had for not a great deal of money. So you know, we could bring it all together.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what? It's a lot of happening. And as you know, we talked last week about Escape Hunter. They said, you know, previously they couldn't afford or there was units that were unavailable, basically unavailable in these high footfall areas, very expensive shopping malls. And now there's plenty available and the landlords are approaching them with saying, you know, we'll literally take on no rent or in the first month, give them lots of incentives, you know, to take up.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it going on. Corporate landlords, commercial landlords of these, especially high streets and shopping malls, are desperate to get some cash, aren't they? So there's some deals to be had out there, you know.
Well, there are plus as well. You know, given the nature of the motorcycle business, it's this time of year it would sort of ebb and flow. There wouldn't be a great deal going on. So you know, I'd be able to sort of have my screens in the back of the office and continue the trading and everything else. And it would just work very well. You know, it would be nice to have everything together. So
that's cool. That'd be quite a little classic motorbike shop in the back trading stocks and shares.
That's it. So basically. I'm honoured to do that. You know, if, we've already got a backer for the classic bikes and all the rest of it. So yeah, that's the plan.
Mm. One of my resolutions is actually do less trading. Or, you know, buying and selling, you know. And when you have a conviction play, stick with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had a couple of things. I've done videos on Bitcoin. I've done about 3 or 4 videos on Bitcoin. So and this is when it was like sub, you know, $8,000 from that. And I said, if you want to play this via AIM, you can do it via Argo blockchain mining. You know, so I banged on about it. I lost interest and got lost patience, sold. And that's gone to the moon, pretty much, Argo blockchain and Bitcoin. Done 4 times where it was when I started talking about it. And another one was Powerless Energy. I said, you know, that they basically get rubbish, you know, dirty, unwanted rubbish that people throw away, which is landfill, essentially, like tyres, and they can change that into a clean energy, hydrogen. And that's the way the economy is going. And sure. And I got out that to it as well. And that's gone nuts, gone bananas. It's done about 10 bags in the last couple of months. So one of my things is... I do research, do lots of research, and I'm convinced by it. I knock the tyres several times and look at it where it is at the moment, look at the valuation going forward, look at the market, you know, I got filters there. So I put it through a rigorous test, but then impatience just gets the better of me sometimes, and I shouldn't do that, you know, because sometimes they can do multiples of what you envisioned, you know, if you just hold on a bit, you know.
Well, they really can, and I think we've seen, you know, you just described the perfectly there situation. Yeah, obviously, Bitcoin, energy. We've seen a lot of mining stocks and resource stocks really start to deliver returns and you know, exponential growth in terms of the share price and the valuation of the company. And of course, you know, we saw Greatland Gold last year, you know, go from sort of a multi-million pound company to a billion plus pound company, and that's pushing on too. And given the backdrop, I think, you know, the changing backdrop now, the debt situation, the outlook for precious metals and so many other, also the ESG sector as well, you know, it's so important now that I think we get on board these companies. But you're right, it's so, sometimes it's tempting to look at the game and think, well, that's done really well. But actually, if you've caught it right, you might have got it on the shop floor, you catch the first part of the curve, and then you potentially miss out on the growth that can really deliver exponential growth. No harm in taking some money off the table, but certainly if you've got a stock that gains that way, take some money off the table. You know, take your initial investment out plus a bit more, and then leave the rest in, or stay, just stick with it the whole way.
Yeah. More stuff. Cool. Let's get into individual stocks now. What's your thoughts? What are you looking at?
Well, following on from your point about renewable energy, just wanted to look again at a company we've spoken about before called ECTEC. EQT is the epicode. And ECTEC really, like others in the sector, has had a spectacular few months, you know, really up to November. It's just been bumping along the bottom, a half a P, and then boom, all of a sudden, the shares burst into life. But actually, what they're doing is entirely in line with the forecast the company made earlier in 2020. And that's obviously in the midst of the COVID crisis, management said that they would take shares in lieu of 40% of cash remuneration they were due, which is obviously great news for investors. Plus, ECTEC has developed its technology. It is, of course, this proprietary technology, advanced gasification, which takes RDF, refuse-derived fuel, and converts it into energy. It reduces the volume of the landfill by 97%, creates heat and electricity, and of course, it positively impacts on climate change. They have a number of projects rolling out across Europe. One particular example, which is shown on their website, is the Movielsa project in Spain, where, because the Spanish produce so much that they produce olives. Of course, they've got huge olive groves there. The byproducts of waste from olives, if it's allowed to go back into the soil, it's acidic and it can really impact on future productivity from the soil. So they've developed the ECTEC, have a the ECTEC system basically takes that and turns it into heat and energy and disposes of it safely. So it's interesting when you look at this technology. It doesn't just burn refuse, but actually solves so many other problems at the same time. So back to the forecast that the company has made going forward. The company said it had 10 new commercial inquiries during the year. And indeed, during the quarter four in 2020, the company started to really deliver on some of its agreements that were in the pipeline, notably the Billium project in County Durham, which is a 25 megawatt waste gasification and power plant. An agreement was signed there to develop using ECTEC technology. Similarly, a special purpose vehicle agreement was signed with Deeside RDF, the Deeside RDF project, again, refuse derived fuel. And also the company announced a joint venture with Wood Group. And of course, Wood Group are a global energy company, primarily involved or previously involved in oil, but have expanded their product portfolio recently. And it's a global collaboration to help ECTEC roll out its technology into different places across the world. In addition, just going back to the forecast the company made in 2012, the sales pipeline implied €7 million in 2020, €40 million, and a profit of some €5.5 million this year in 2021. Next year, €65 million with a profit of €11 million. And it seems, given the share price action and the progress made by the company, that it's very much on course to do that. So. So, again, it's risen very rapidly, very suddenly. But I don't think the rise is overdone at all.
What's
I think
the
this
market
is,
cap, Al?
Well, the market cap's now just over 200 million. Okay. So. So it has pushed ahead. So investors, you know, might want to sort of take a look at the developments. But I believe, given the progress ECTEC have made, the developments in 2021 are going to come thick and fast. So we may just still be at the start of that particular curve. Either way, it looks a very solid investment going forward. And that joint venture with Wood Group, I think, is highly significant. Wood Group are a multi-billion pound energy company, as everyone knows. And obviously, a collaboration like that, Wood Group see the potential. They've got the resources, they've got the contacts to help ECTEC roll the technology out. So, let's hope that the forecast made by ECTEC during 2020 will be conservative for this year. But either way, a very exciting future and a very exciting year ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not commenting fundamentally here on the business, but technically, look at the chart. This is a company I would not touch unless it come cool off a little bit. It's, yeah. You know, I've said the same with Ilika. When I own shares in Ilika, I said, listen, you know, when an RSI is above sort of 80, I mean, 70 is regarded as overbought. But sometimes, you know, you need to get above 70 to get going. And it did. I mean, it went above 70 at the end of November, and that was half of one penny then. So now it's 3 pence, so it's 6 bagged, pretty much 5 bagged. And so and the RSI is up there at 88.90. That needs to consolidate a little bit. I'm not saying it'll drop, but it'll maybe pull back a little bit. Who knows? But it may go sideways for a while, or it may drop a little bit. But now's the time to do research. Because it may go a bit higher, but it's really cooking on, you know, overheating a little bit.
We can't necessarily, it's cooking on gas. It's cooking on syngas anyway.
So, I mean, it's a hot space. But 200 million market cap and, so the share price really rising fast here. So that's one of the most important things. I think a lot of private investors, you know, they have the fear of missing out. They jump in when, and the thing is this is the thing. Stocks get talked about a lot when they've risen by a lot. Like Bitcoin hit, you know, the mainstream press over the weekend. And that's generally, my father called me and said, should we buy some Bitcoin? I said, Dad, now is not the time to buy Bitcoin. So the time to buy Bitcoin is like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever. And when no one's talking about it, you know, when everyone's talking about it, the reason why they're talking about it is because the share price has risen like crazy. So, I think let it cool off. Same with Bitcoin, you know, let it cool off a little bit because nothing goes straight up. And... the higher it gets, you know, it's like one of those burnouts. You know, you can't go. The fuel has to, you have to replenish a little bit. I think it'll come back a little bit first, but it could go a little bit higher. But again, you know, your returns will be diminished if you start buying here, because it's just had a phenomenal rise, hasn't it? You know,
it has. Yeah, it has. But also Power Energy, another company in the sector as well. That's also had a phenomenal rise too.
Absolutely. I wouldn't touch
shares there. I mean, that is a real ten bagger. It's literally gone from a penny up to 10p, 10.5p.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're very hot areas, and they need to cool down a bit. And in fact, Power's at the moment, last couple of days, they've had down days. They may be just topping off a little bit, may have a bit of a breather there. And same with Bitcoin. Bitcoin's now on a bit of a breather, but it looks a bit, which it needs. Anyway, cool. What's the next one, Al?
Okay, company we spoke about last autumn, AB Dynamics, ABDP. Now, and this is the company, so when you go and buy your new car and you appreciate all of the safety features in that car and the side impact bars, the electronic technology, the ABS and everything else, chances are it's been developed by AB Dynamics. And this is a company that was set up by Anthony Best in 1982, hence AB. And the company has the company came to market in 2013, and of course they've worked with the very best in the industry, McLaren, Williams, obviously one of the names in Formula One and others. But they're used by all of the top seven Euro NCAP laboratories, and that, of course, that's where you see the crash test dummies going into the wall and everything else. As well as the names I mentioned, the clients of AB Dynamics include the top 25 global vehicle manufacturers. Of course, as the industry has developed, we're now seeing the move towards autonomous drivers, driving robots, AB Dynamics again has been at the forefront of this. Its robots are the industry benchmark. It's developed a unique suspension chassis development assessment system, which again is the industry benchmark. While the company has been affected by COVID this year in terms of delays and so on, the company has a very strong cash position. It's the cash position is currently got 31 million in the bank, down slightly from 36 million previously. No debt at all. Revenues are 61.5 million, up 6%. These were from the numbers announced in November. And adjusted operating profit was down slightly to 11 million. But nonetheless, the chief executive, Dr. James Routh, said the company was in a very strong financial position and was able to maintain its strategic momentum despite COVID. It's also seen demand in quarter one consistent with its quarter four exit rate. The company say the signs they're seeing, they're very confident that demand will cover to pre-crisis levels during 2021. Certainly the company is and remains at the forefront of the auto industry safety departments for key auto manufacturers, to the point where we've seen BlackRock increase its stake, now holds just under 5% of the company. So paid a small dividend. Obviously, the dividend was suspended during the year, but I think given although the share price has come back slightly during November, December, it's now starting to move back up to the highs that it hit at the end of November. In fact, it dropped off during December after the results, but it's now starting to move back up. So I expect to see this company continue and push back up to its year highs of £24 per share.
Cool. ABD, what's that, half a billion market cap, are they pretty much, are they?
ABDP, yeah, you've got a 474 million market cap. As I say, no debt, plenty of cash in the bank, they've used COVID to fine tune some of the cost base. They've got obviously paid for a new headquarters as well, which was done during 2019-2020, and I think this company is going to continue to go from strength to strength, particularly given the autonomous driving systems they develop, and also, of course, the boom in EV technology to boot.
Mm-hmm. Lovely stuff. Cool. What's next up?
Okay. Pets, dogs, cats. We've talked about CVS Group before, but this is another company that is simply relentless in its growth. If you look at the share price, really, since March of 2020, it's just top right-hand corner stuff the whole way. Shares currently trading at £15. We've got a the company, the market cap has just recently passed $1 billion, and the share price has just continued to perform all the way, but with good reason. Of course, we all love our pets. The company has steadily acquired veterinary practices throughout the UK over the past few years. We've discussed the strategy of the group many times before. It also has its own diagnostic labs. It's got 7 pet crematoria up and down the country, and it has an e-commerce part of the business too, where it supplies animal products and medicines and so on directly to the buyer. And again, we had another trading update from the company towards the end of November last year. The CVS Group said trading was ahead of full year results. Trading update ahead of full year results. Sales were up 63% in the 4 months to August 31st. EBITDA margins improved to just under 19% from 18% previously. Net debt reduced from $61 million to $40 million. And bear in mind the debt's been incurred through the acquisitions it's made, so it's taken those on and then it's paying back that debt from earnings, which is. It is a very sound strategy and it's worked very good well for the group. Completed 3 further acquisitions of veterinary chains in Oxford, Devon and Milton Keynes throughout the year. The group said current trading is ahead of last year. Obviously, all its practices have stayed open during COVID. It's a key service. They've appointed a new chief technology officer, a guy called Enrico Tizzano, who comes from a veterinary and medical background. His job is to further develop the data and technology offering within the company. But we spoke about relentless growth here. There is this company is just continuing to grow, continuing to deliver. It'll make further acquisitions, no doubt, in 2021. Sky's the limit for this company.
Yeah, so it's got that classic Dash for Cash March sell-off. You know where it went down? It was like a 12.28 share. It went down pretty much, halved, 6.60 pretty much there.
Yeah,
and that was more than doubled because, of course, we learned since lockdown, lots of people have bought more pets. You know, so it's a bigger market. You know,
well, they have. I mean, the amount of people out walking dogs now, certainly the routes that we take, there are twice as many people. And you know, you talk to people. Obviously, dog owners talk to each other, and you find out. Oh, yes, we've just bought this dog. We just bought the dog here and bought the dog there, and yes, she's been ill, and that's why she's got the bandage on her leg. So all of this, it costs a tremendous amount of money. I mean, goodness me, you go in for a consultancy for 15 minutes and you'll pay 120 quid, you know, and then if there's medicine on top of that, you'll pay on top of that. So it's incredibly lucrative industry and business, and I think CVS Group really do have a very strong business model, and I actually can't see the rate of growth slowing down.
No, so yeah, strong trend in the chart. Cool. Anything else, Al?
Yep. Want to talk about tertiary minerals quickly. TYM is the epic code. Now, this is a resource company that seems to, for some reason, have been left behind the curve. We spoke when we started about Power Metal Resources and ECR Minerals and Greatland Gold and others that have just delivered a really strong growth. Tertiary Minerals is currently got a market cap of just 2 million and it trades on at 0.25p, been as high as 0.9p on the year. The company has getting over 600,000 in the bank, it also has a royalty agreement from the sale of its Karaselka gold project in Finland to Orion Resources. This is a TSX-listed company. Orion is backed by Kinross Gold and B2 Gold Corporation, purchased from Tertiary in 2007, and it has recently undertaken drilling at the Karaselka prospect. And the returns reported on December the 3rd, 52 grams over just under 3 metres from 306 metres down the drill hole, and 85 grams per tonne over a 5.5 metre area. That's from 190 metres down the drill hole. On the back of that, they've extended the mineralisation zone for the Vanna target within the Karaselka project. So very positive numbers there from Orion. The deal that Tertiary have here is that for an inferred resource pre-production, they receive $1 per ounce. For an indicated resource, they receive $2 per ounce. And for a measured mineral resource, they have $3 per ounce, plus a net smelter return of 2% on all future gold production. But in addition to this, if Orion so decide, they can purchase the 50% of the net smelter royalties from Tertiary for $1 million any time prior to commencement. So given the movement in gold, given where we are, that's obviously a possibility. So that in itself really covers the current market cap of Tertiary without any upside or any of the projects that Tertiary is currently developing being factored in. It's hugely undervalued in my view. We had an update from Tertiary at the end of the year. The Pyramid Gold Project in Nevada, of course, it has a raft of projects in Nevada. Mineralization confirmed. Soil sample results awaited. Those are due any time. The Paymaster Polymetallic Project sampled 7.5% zinc, 4.5% lead, and 180 grams per ton. Drone surveys completed at Paymaster. The Mount Tobin Silver Project, again, these are all in the Nevada Walker Lane Gold Belt, 101 grams per ton samples, drone service completed, results awaited, and the Lucky Copper Project drill permit is going to retest a 20 meter intersection there, which uncovered 0.65% gold. Also has the assets in Storuman and Lasedalen fluorspar mines, which are obviously just there as assets. But if you just look at where the Tertiary mineral share price currently is, it seems hugely undervalued. There's the market just hasn't really taken on board the Karaselka gold project asset value, the Storuman and Lasedalen fluorspar asset values, and then of course the upside from the projects that are already underway in Nevada. So I think it offers great value at this level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it often spikes up. I held it till a couple of years back when I had the massive spike up. And it's like five-bagged overnight. It's something ridiculous. And in fact, 2017 now. Wow. That's the last time I held this stock. I haven't had any resource stocks for a while, a long time. But it went from, let me look at this share price. I'm trying to get the chart up here. It went from literally in one day, 0.7, and it went to 2.0. Well, in fact, it spiked up at like four, five bagged in one day, yeah. So who's at the head of this now? Who's the guy?
Well, I was just going to say, Patrick Cheatham is the chairman. Of course, Patrick has many, many years of experience, formerly with Western Mining Corporation in Australia and Imperial Metals in Canada. He also is the chairman of Sunrise Resources, Patrick Cheatham has headed it up. But I was going to say, they appointed late last year as an non-executive director Dr. Mike Armitage. Mike Armitage works for the SRK Mining Consultancy. He's also chairman of the Applied Earth Science Division of the Institute of Materials, Minerals and Mining. So very well-respected gentleman in his field, 35 years experience. So I think they brought Dr. Armitage in at a key time for the development of the Nevada projects. But I just think at 2 million, this is, this is one to have a punt on, because really it's the 2 million is more than covered by the Karaselka royalty agreement.
It's at that level if they've got cash. And when did they have cash? They said 600,000. When was that? End of September, was it? So I don't know how much they spent there.
that was September, October. They had 670,000 there in the bank. So probably some of that money will be going once we have the results back from the soil sampling. Those will have to be paid for, of course. But nonetheless, you know, they certainly, given the level of activity, they have enough cash for the foreseeable future. But of course, if there are developments that need funding, then that may change. But if those developments require funding, then that will mean a significant move forward in the development of the assets.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those charts where literally it's been, you can put a ruler under it, you know, and that's normally when that kind of thing happens, it's good because you can see pretty much all the sellers have got out. It's had the spike because it had a spike in Feb of this year, where it went from literally 0.19 or 0.2, say, up to 0.8, did a fallback of there. So it's like one of those shares, it does that, you know, so it can actually move on. I wonder that was, it was news back then, was it in what was that, let me just scroll back, 20th of February, what was it, the 19th results of the year, I can't see, it was a project update on the 18th of February, it was a pyramid gold update. Okay, so it could do that again, who knows, you know.
Well, I think it's just when the Karasalka results came out, Patrick Cheetham said then that he suspected the market had not taken on board the significance of that project, and that alone more than underwrites the market cap of the group currently. There's no premium at all attached for any of the Nevada projects, and I think bringing Dr. Armitage in is significant given his experience and background, and certainly we've seen a lot of microcap mining companies move forward on the basis of their assets develops and the movement in precious metals, but tertiary is one that seems to have been left behind until now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marvellous stuff, Al. Thanks for that. TYM's ticker there. Of course, resource stocks, small caps are very volatile. Do your own research there. I've no idea how much cash they've got in the bank now because they've... they've obviously been doing some work out there and drilling. They're drilling and stuff, are they? And it's not cheap, is it?
Oh, it's soil sampling, drone surveys, there is a summary. If you look back at the most recent update, you can find it on the Brand UK website, or just go and look at the recent RNS from Tertiary in quarter four last year. You'll see where have we got. Yeah, all the results for the year on 11th December. That'll tell you all you need to know, and of course the chairman's report there too. That'll tell you all you need to know.
Marvellous stuff, Al. Thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak to you next week.
Cheers, Joss. Speak to you next week.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. IDE Group up 274% at 2.9 pence. Wow, what is the market cap there now? It's 11%. What do they do? Managed service provider with a broad portfolio of IT services, technology. What's the news down this? Contract win. Wow. It's about £22.5 million contract win. Is that right? I don't know if the market cap's correct on that. I'll check that in a bit. But big move there by IDE Group. At four, Empire Metals up 10.5 to 4.2 pence. At three, Tirupati Graphite up 3% to 67 pence. At two, Ilika. It's having a bit of a sell-off today, of course. Big rise last few days. It's in solid-state batteries. Huge area. I hold. I did a video a while back. It's having a drop back. And at one, Argo Blockchain Mining. I did hold those a while back. Lost patience, that's all. But silly me. Up 21%. And of course, that's off the back of Bitcoin rallying. It's coming back a bit now. The Bitcoin at $34,000 over the weekend. It's what is Bitcoin at the moment? It's at, check it out, 31. So it's having a little drop off, a little sell off. I think a lot of it being bought up though. There's a lot of support there now. So that's the most followed company. Okay, top five most read RNSs are as follows. At five, Encondes Energy, $21 million US historical costs agreed in principle. At four, Asia Met, important environmental approval received for BKM. At three, Boohoo Group, notification of major holdings. At two, EdTech, new unsecured loan facility and river facility. We talked with Alan Green about that on the podcast today. And at one, Tizian Life Sciences, completion of Formalab clinical trial in Brazil. They were, of course, the biggest rise there on a COVID-19 index. Check all those lists out at voxmarkets.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.